something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. This podcast is being broadcast over the internet all over the world to those of you who are captive out there in Babylon, to whom God says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you be not partaker of her sins." To those of you out there who feel that you are trapped by the Babylonian system, whether it be spiritually or politically, Jesus Christ, our rescuer, came to rescue us and deliver us from such a deadly peril. The word of God sets people free. Him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Though we sit in the midst of spiritual darkness, the Lord will be our light in these times of darkness. And yes, there is a lot of darkness out there. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and I feel privileged to come back to you once again to get on the mic and speak to you guys for a little while. Many of you know that I don't put podcasts out all the time, but yes, tonight is another night where I felt, you know, something was weighing on my heart. And what might it be that's weighing on my heart? Can you take a guess? Well, if you guys have been watching the news lately, it's the Gulf oil spill. This Gulf oil spill is causing a lot of information to be put out. A lot of you guys are just burning the midnight oil to download different podcasts on the Gulf oil spill. You can't get enough information. And why is that? You know, I've thought about it. I've done the same thing. First of all, I want to let you know that I've done the same thing. The last, you know, 2-3 weeks since it's, you know, this Gulf oil spill has been just going on for days and days and days. The hype is going up. I mentioned it in my last podcast, and I normally don't jump into, like, you know, Babylonian news service, and there's a reason for that. I think a lot of you guys out there know why the reason that is, but, you know, I have to jump in here and just put my 2 cents in. I've been praying to the Lord over the last few weeks about this oil spill. I've listened to the podcast, as many of you guys have. You know, I'm subscribed to podcasts as well, guys. You know, I got an iPhone, I have iTunes, you know, I'm subscribed to different podcasts, you know, like the Frank and Chris Show, TrueNews.com. Listen to a little bit of Alex Jones to kind of see, you know, what's going on, even though I don't, you know, recommend that you listen to AJ too much, because it will take you down into the rabbit hole and spiral you into an addiction, a sick addiction that is focused on, you know, what's going wrong and finding out more and more of what the elites are doing. And, you know, gosh, if I can just figure this out, you know, I'll be okay. And I just, you know, now that you opened the door and, you know, you show me behind the curtain, you know, I just feel like I need to know everything that's going on, because it can become an addiction, guys. It can become an addiction that, you know, if you start finding out what's going on behind the scenes and what the elites are doing, you know, in government, and how they're lying to you, it can become an addiction. And I normally don't bring conspiracies to you guys, and I don't try to focus on it. But I have to tell you, the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I've been feeling this feeling of getting sucked back in to, you know, listening to anyone and everybody that has information on this Gulf oil spill. And it all started because of, and I'm just going to put it out there, I'm not making any judgments on anybody, but because I heard the podcast on True News with Rick Wiles talking about, you know, had Nathan Liao on there from the Watchman's Cry podcast talking about, you know, the waters are poisoned, and this vision that Nathan had. And, you know, and then, you know, there's all this talk about with the Gulf oil spill, the one person that's been coming against it has been, you know, Matt Simmons. And he was, I think it was on MSNBC, and he's been, you know, a proponent, against the peak oil theory, which is saying, you know, that we're running out of oil and all this. So there's all this stuff. You guys know that as you've listened to the podcast that, you know, I don't get into hype. I don't get into this and that. And let me just take a second to explain why I'm not so quick to jump on the bandwagon with things. Because I realize that the Bible says in Revelation that the beast deceives the whole world. The dragon deceives the whole world. That you know, Jesus told us that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So to just tell you guys the truth, I'm not so dippy on, you know, just listening to the news service. I'm not so dippy on listening to the alternative news service, because the alternative news, all they're trying to do is listen to the news that comes out from the mainstream media, aka the Babylonian news sources, and they try to unscramble it and decode it and all this. But the first thing you got to remember is the best thing is if you have two pools of water, you drink from the one that's pure. The first object is not to take the polluted water and try to filter it. It's just better to drink the pure water, okay? And what is that pure water? It's the Word of God. It is the living water, and it's the basis for the name of this podcast, True Stream Oasis. If I do anything, it's not to come here every week and to act like a preacher and a pastor and a teacher and to teach you all these things. If anything, it's just like the mission statement on TrueStreamOasis.com, that this is to be a haven of rest from Babylon to those who are being disillusioned so that they can come here and get a little bit of truth, you know, from the Word of God, that I focus on the Bible and that I'm not here day in and day out to, you know, read you news stories and so-called decode them and get worn out and to the point where, you know, I can't even do podcasts anymore because my brain's just going crazy because I'm reading all these news stories and it's bringing me down and sucking me into the abyss because I'm listening to Alex Jones and, you know, Alan Watt and all these people out there and David Icke and reptilian theories and all this. And some of you guys that listen for the biblical stuff may say, what is he talking about? You know, what is he going on and on about all this? I never heard all this stuff. Well, if you haven't heard of all this stuff, then that's probably a good thing, because there, the rabbit hole into the, you know, like Alice in Wonderland in the Looking Glass goes really, really deep, and you can get sucked down into the abyss. I've had many listeners who have emailed me and told me that you know, this podcast has been a real blessing to them and has changed their life and has brought them back into the light, because they were listening to Alex Jones, they were listening to Alan Watt, they were, you know, they themselves were people that they know have been sucked into, you know, seeing all the lies, things that they thought were true for years. And the glass is being shattered, and they're finding out that all these things behind the scenes have been lies. And where does it end? And could it be that the Bible is a deception and man has just, you know, made up religion as well to control the masses and all this stuff, and all this stuff swirling around? And you guys wonder why I started True Stream Oasis with the very first podcast talking about a whirlwind, and that there would be a whirlwind, and that there would come a point in time where your events are swirling all around you and you're getting confused and you wonder why. Maybe you don't wonder, but maybe there's some of you out there who wonder why I've said, you know, to anchor yourself in Christ, to take, you know, a spike and drive it into the rock and hold on through all these times, because it's going to get difficult, and many of us are becoming numb and deadened to it. Many of us are crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, where is that fire that I had a few years ago when 9/11 happened? Many of us are crying out and saying, Lord, I can't take it. I love you. I'm holding on to you. But why can't I feel anything? Why can't I feel? Where is it going? Where is my emotion going? Where is my fire? Have I lost my first love? What's going on, Lord? I'm slipping. I'm not where I was. Well, brothers and sisters, you're not alone. I'm there with you. Okay? This is a battle. And this is why I believe Revelation stated, that John stated in Revelation that, you know, this calls for patient endurance on part of the saints. If I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll keep repeating it because it bears repeating. Guys, we need to have patient endurance. We're together in this. We are together in this darkness and in this confusion and in these lies. We're together. You're not alone. I just want you to know that. You are not alone in this life. There are brothers and sisters who are going through the same things as you and may not be able to communicate to you that they are going through these things. And that's why I feel, you know, I need to get on the mic and let you know that you're not alone. You're going through this confusion and these lies and looking at the governments and the tumult that's going on around the world. The nations are you know, raging. We're on the brink of revolution. Everybody's waiting for this thing to happen, and everybody's waiting for the Lord. Well, let me tell you, let me straighten things out with the Bible, okay? First of all, the Word of God says, woe to you that long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? Don't you know that it is a day of darkness, of thick clouds and blackness without a ray of light? And then it says in Micah, it talks about, I think it's Malachi. In the book of Malachi, it talks about the Lord returning, the day of judgment, and the Lord returning, and who can stand? He is like a refiner's fire, you know, and a launderer's soap, and he purges the sons of Levi, and who can stand when he appears? And that's why Jesus said, you know, pray that you'll be able to escape all these things and that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus talked about in the end times that it would get so bad that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived, that no flesh would be saved if he didn't cut those days short, that it would be a time of distress unequaled from the beginning of time until the end of time. And now that is a powerful statement. And this isn't to scare you. This is a rally call so that people can be prepared for battle, so that they know what they're going into. So they're not listening to the lying shepherds who are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And yet they're, you know, prepared for what's coming. But yet, see, there's a balance. There are people out there who are taking their stick and they're slamming it on the ground like Moses, and I'm cursing the land and everything, you know, and I had a dream and I had a vision and everything's going to fall apart in the wrath of God. Man, God's going to do what he's going to do when he's ready to do it. And there are people on both sides. There's people saying peace, peace, and there's people saying bring the judgment, bring the wrath. Well, what I would say is, where is the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'm a little fired up tonight, as you guys can tell. The last few days, I've done research, and I've just been listening to this, and I'm thankful to God for it, because I've been feeling numbified by all of this. I'm glad something's going on, and the Holy Spirit's hitting me to get on this mic and speak about this, because there's just stuff going on all over the place. We got podcasts, and my intention, I love my brothers and sisters. I really do, and you guys that have listened to the podcast, you know this. I've responded to you. You know, when I get fired up, it's because there's something to get fired up about. I don't just get on the mic and blow hot air because, I'm supposed to blow hot air 5 days a week. I just don't do that. Okay. And yeah, I've speculated on some things at times too, but I've always told you, be like a Berean and go into the Bible. I've never said, you know, I'm dogmatic. This is it. And this is set in stone and all this. So, you know, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and I have to call some things out and, you know, call a spade a spade. You know, a lot of my brothers in Christ are doing things publicly, and I have to call them out publicly, and I welcome them to contact me if they want to speak to me about it or have me on their show to talk about this. But, you know, first of all, let me say that I am a huge listener to TrueNews.com. I love Rick Wiles. I, you know, have donated to his ministry, not to probably lost my blessing, but, you know, I believe people should donate to him because I think he's doing a great thing. And 99% of the time, he's dead on, man. He doesn't get into the Alex Jones conspiracies. You know, he doesn't do this and that. He's really balanced. And that's why I listen to him. I think everybody that's listening to TrueStream should take a listen to TrueNews.com. So with that said, I just, you know, I was listening, and Rick, you know, has been had Nathan Leal on from the Watchman's Cry podcast because Nathan had put out a video, a vision that he had had a year or two ago about, you know, God telling him that the waters are poisoned, and he thinks this relates to the Gulf oil spill. And I can see that. If God gave him a vision about that, I can see how that's happening. And a lot of the stuff that he brings up is true. America is in sin, deep sin, and we need to repent. We need to repent. But the thing is you can sit there all day and say repent, but unless the Holy Spirit of God does something, we're trapped in our sin. We're trapped. We need a real move of God, and it's going to take weeping and mourning, and people aren't going to listen to this and just drop down on their knees. God's got to rescue us. This is, salvation is of the Lord. The only thing you can do is drop down on your knees. You can't repent. The only thing you can drop down on your knees and do is ask God to give you the gift of repentance, that he will move in your heart and crush you where your sin is so that you are broken, so that you can. You've got to ask the Lord to rescue you from your own apathy about your own life and your own sin. And that's just the way it is. And anybody that's out there that's been broken knows that anybody has a realistic view of their life. It's not going to come from the emotional speech of a man. We preach the cross of Christ and God's wisdom. We don't do it in emotionalism. Okay, that's not going to move people. Our words will fall on the ground and nothing will happen. Okay, so it's got to be the power of God. There has to be a real move with the real Holy Spirit, with the real power of God working in people's hearts. But to bring it back on topic, you know, Rick's concerned about the Gulf oil spill, and I am too, as many of us are. But I just think we need to be very, very cautious. Frank Lordy has a podcast called Wise as Serpents. You guys can hear him on the Frank and Chris show. You know, when it returns, they're taking a brief hiatus right now to recharge the batteries at this point. But and that's on the Revelations Radio Network. But, you know, Frank Lordy has a show called Wise as Serpents. And it's true. We need to be wise, if not as wise or wiser than the serpent, but gentle as doves, like our Lord told us. But see, the thing is that wisdom doesn't come from man. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John that we need to be connected to him, like the branches are connected to the vine. He's the vine, we're the branches. We need to abide in his word, be connected with him, because if we're not connected to Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And those of you out there who have religion have never experienced and who have never experienced the power of the Lord and then have it kind of, you know, not taken away, but you've had the hand of the Lord heavy upon you and then he lightens it. Sometimes you get worried. Any real Christian would get worried. They're like, Lord, where'd you go? It was pressure. It was like I was an olive being pressed and all this oil came out and all that stuff. And I felt I was really close to you. But then, you know, when you stop pressing on me, it's like, you know, I don't feel, it's just the flesh doesn't like to be pressed on. Okay. So, basically, you know, there's good times and there's bad times. And sometimes we get the good times and the bad times mixed up. Sometimes when we're being pressed, we feel like it's bad times, but those are the times that we're closest to the Lord. And then when God relieves his hand a little bit, the flesh thinks it's good times, but it's really bad times because then you're not as pressed to get, you know, to witness and do those things. So we don't want to get those things mixed up. And I is, you know, as pumped up as I am right now, I don't want to go off on a tangent. So I might have lost that train of thought there. You guys know that have been listening, that happens sometimes, but we'll just run with it. So anyway, Rick is, you know, concerned about the oil spill, as I am, as many of you are, and we're trying to figure out if this indeed is something that's talked about in Revelation. So there's been a lot of talk going around the internet that this is the third trumpet. Oh, the oil spills, the third trumpet. The oil is coming to the surface, mixed with the dispersants, the methane gas, whatever the reactions are. The oil looks like it's, you know, red. It literally does. It looks like red blood on top of the water. So I can see how, you know, a lot of people are thinking, hey, let's go to Revelation and look. But hey, if we're going to do this, if we're going to look at Revelation, we're going to try to, you know, stuff something into fit something that's happening, let's at least get it right. Okay. I've heard time and time on the internet, this is the third trumpet. This is the third trumpet. This is the third trumpet. So let's just get one thing straight. If somebody's going to prophesy something about a vision or something or a dream that they had, and they're going to say, I think this is the third trumpet, don't listen to them if they haven't done their Bible study. Okay. So let's go into the Bible and look at the third trumpet. All right. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the third angel sounded his trumpet. This is the third trumpet. And a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. We're not even talking about the sea, okay? We're talking about the springs of water and a third of the rivers. The name of the star is Wormwood, okay? And wormwood means bitterness, but if you want to take a literal interpretation and kind of see if you can get a spiritual meaning out of it, wormwood is something in the real world that kind of is, I think, if I remember correctly, the plant helps you sleep. But it is a very bitter tasting plant. It says a third of the waters turned bitter and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Okay, you take this, be this as may, keep in mind that Paul the Apostle said that we speak spiritual truths in spiritual words, that the natural man cannot understand the spiritual. Be that as it may, take it for what it's worth. I don't believe that we're going to see a star fall in the water, and the star's name is Wormwood. I believe that there may be a physical event that kind of mirrors on the other side of the glass. Spiritual, that something's happened in the spiritual, it manifests in the physical. Not sure, but I'm not sitting here trying to pretend that I'm a prophet and I'm telling you what the Lord's saying. I'm just telling you what the third trumpet. But let's take a look. If we're gonna play this game of pin the tail on the trumpet and see what's going on, let's look at the second trumpet. Okay. The second angel sounded his trumpet. This is Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, the second trumpet. And something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, if we were going to pin the tail on the trumpet and see which one it was, it would be the second trumpet. Okay, it would fit more with the second trumpet. Am I saying that it is the second trumpet? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it, you know, I'm speaking as a man here, you know, humor me. If we're going to do this thing where we're trying to figure out which trumpet it was, it would fit more with the second trumpet, yet there are people out there who are saying it's the third trumpet. So that's the first thing that I wanted to clear up. If you're going to do this and you're going to try to make things fit, it wouldn't be the third trumpet, it would be the second trumpet. Then we could fit it, and why aren't we going into the bowls? I mean, the second and third bowl, you know, let's go to the bowl judgments. Okay, let's switch over there and see the bowls. The second angel poured out his bowl in the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl in the rivers and springs of the water, and they became blood. Isn't that interesting? The bowls go right along with the trumpets. So there are some out there who theorize that the seals, trumpets, and bowls are all three different perspectives of the same event. The seals have to do with the unlocking of the knowledge to understand what the trumpets are. The trumpet is the action as effects, you know, to the believers, because God's voice speaks to the believers. I heard a voice like behind me like that of a trumpet saying. And the bowls are actually the effect of what happened to the unbelievers, okay? And that's why you find these similarities. And there are some out there who say the Antichrist comes at 666. He comes at the sixth seal, the sixth bowl, and the sixth trumpet. That maybe they don't telescope. And what that means is that the seventh trumpet doesn't open, you know, the seventh seal doesn't open the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet doesn't open the seven bowls, that they're actually the same events from different perspectives. And we've even seen God say the same thing multiple times all throughout the Bible in different ways. So, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you with that. You study the Bible, and whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, let him lead you, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Okay? So the thing I wanted to talk about after that little ramble-thon is, because of all this hype, all right? Well, let me backtrack for a minute. I'm sorry, I'm getting confusing, but I just forgot about something, a point that I wanted to make. Rick Wiles had Matt Simmons, who had also been on MSNBC. This guy is, you know, a millionaire oil guy. He's a CFR globalist, okay? Even Rick mentioned that he was, you know, on the Council on Foreign Relations, which I don't understand. That should have clued Rick in, but maybe it was the aspect that, oh my gosh, you know, this guy's going to be on the True News show. Don't know. It's not my point to judge. But, you know, for those of you that listen to True News, I'm not advocating stop listening to True News. I'm not saying that Rick didn't face any temptations that any of us would have faced if we're in that situation. Now, be real. Be real. If you're picking up on the vibe and the understanding that I'm bringing out here, be real. Don't judge him. Because I'm going to guarantee if Matt Simmons called me, I'd have been under serious temptation to have him on the show. Okay? So that's not the point. The point that I'm trying to get to is the truth. The point is not trying to point out anybody's faults, because we all have them. Okay? Rick probably lives a lot better life than I do. All right? I'm not trying to put anything out there. The only thing I'm concerned about is helping my brothers and sisters in Christ not be deceived. That's what I feel I'm on the mic tonight for. Okay? It's not the third trumpet. It would better fit the second trumpet. I wanted to get that out. The second thing is that Matt Simmons is a CFR globalist. More than likely, we know, for those of you that are in the know, that Obama and Tony Hayward, the CEO of BP, British Petroleum, they were at the Bilderberger meeting last year together, okay? The CFR, the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, all these guys run in the same groups. Now, why would they be fighting against each other? Why would Matt Simmons, being a CFR globalist, let's ask ourselves this question. Let's be wise as serpents, okay, and not be stupid and let them just, you know, throw the sheep for a loop. Why would a CFR globalist come out and say, oh, we need to evacuate, you know, the Gulf Coast, and there's going to be poison everywhere, and millions of people are going to die, and, you know, all this stuff. And yet the media, who many of the people in the media are CFR globalists, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, it's because they've got a plan, and the plan is to confuse the people. It's to give one story and another story, and they have an agenda. And in this instance, I think Alex Jones is right. I think they have an agenda. And it's usually always about money, because money's their god, and they worship Lucifer to get the money, because they don't even really care about Lucifer. They care about what they can get, and Lucifer knows that. And that's why they have that, you know, symbiotic relationship, that, you know, back and forth, that, you know, they get what they want in this world. So, you know, it's money. And they want this carbon tax. They want this world government. The climate gate came out. And, you know, this memo that was leaked from the government, you know, showing, obviously, that all this stuff about global warming was a big lie. If you guys haven't got it now, there's a lot about the environment. There's a lot of laws they can pass due to the environment, based on two things. People's fear that something's going to go wrong with the environment, and based on the other one, people's love of, you know, keeping the environment clean, So there's a lot of things they can do with the environment. Even Larry Burkett, if you guys read this old book by Larry Burkett called The Illuminati, in that book he even mentioned, it was supposedly a fictional work, but even in that book he mentioned that, you know, that the Environmental Protection Agency was highly involved in bringing about this world order that was in place in the book. So be that as it may. But, you know, there is an agenda. He's a CFR globalist. That's probably the first thing that would have come to my mind, like, okay, dude, why are you trying to be on my show? You know, like, there are a lot of other people to get more listeners. Is it really, you know, you just, I don't know. You know, maybe you can't figure it out, but it's like, dude, I smell something funny cooking in the kitchen. I'm not allowed to open the door and see what it is, but I can smell it. There's something fishy going on here, okay? And, you know, so when I listen to the interview, it's good that Rick had him on. I just wish that he would have questioned him more. It's good because we got to hear his point of view. And for those of us that have our eyes open and know what's going on, you can hear the agenda coming through. He protected the Obama administration, came on and said, you know, it was BP's fault. And Obama is, he just didn't know until the last 2 weeks, and now he's doing something about it. So there was all this protection of the government and the system and blaming it on BP. So BP is a scapegoat. For those of you guys that don't know what a scapegoat is the one you put all your sins off and you send it away. It takes the blame. Okay, so BP is a scapegoat. Now, if they get the carbon tax passed, okay, then BP stands to make a ton of money. So they can take the hit for now. They could be the bad guys. All right. And they'll make money back on the carbon tax. But here's the thing. Many of you guys are saying, but yeah, like, but they made the oil spill, and there's 100,000 barrels dumping into the ocean a day, and it's going to go on for 9 months, and the whole Gulf is going to be polluted, and it's going to go into the Atlantic, and one-third of the sea is going to be turned into this red color, and a third of the living creatures are going to die, and there's these toxic air plumes that are going to come over the United States. They're going to have to evacuate. Revolution's going to start. And it's all this horrible, terrible stuff. Guys, wait. You know, like, don't anticipate this stuff. Like, don't get excited like this is entertainment, okay? Not that you are, but there might be some out there who do. It's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. We don't need to haste it. What we need to do is ask the Lord for mercy, more time to get the gospel out. But maybe we do need some judgments to wake people up, because maybe they won't listen, and maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're looking for the judgments to come out because we're like, so we could say, see, this is happening. Now do you want to get saved? Satan knows this. Guys, I prayed about this whole thing. I thought about the interview on True News with Matt Simmons and being a CFR globalist, and I asked the Lord to show me what's going on, because I had a lot of consternation going on about this. And I can only tell you what I personally feel as a brother in Christ, what he, you know, brought to me. And I didn't even know what it was. I prayed, and the first thing that I started thinking about is I heard Aaron's rod. You know, the staff that Moses had. And I, you know, I heard it in my spirit, you know, like just in my thoughts. I started thinking about it. And I started thinking about the, you know, the seas turning into blood. And as I was praying, the Lord was bringing my thoughts back to Egypt and how the magicians also turned the water to blood like Moses did. And then I started thinking about, you know, the staff that Moses threw down, and it became a snake, and then the magicians did it too. But yet, Moses' staff swallowed whole the staff that the magicians had turned into a snake. So their staff turned into a snake, and Moses' snake staff swallowed it. And so I was thinking about all that, and I said, well, you know, how did the magicians turn it into blood back then? And I started thinking about that, and as I drifted off, I ended up drifting off to sleep, okay? So I kind of didn't finish that thought. And so I woke up the next morning, and, you know, as my custom is most mornings, unless something comes up and I miss it, I grab my iPhone and I have this program called Logos. It's an iPhone application. You guys can check it out. Go to the App Store, check out Logos. One of the things that I like about Logos, and I have to give Brother Cliff a shout out for this because he's the one that introduced me to it. One of the things I think about that I really like about the Logos program is that it has these morning and evening devotionals, and they were written by Charles Spurgeon, who, you know, is a very spirit-filled man. He struggled deeply, and he was just very real. So I like these devotions. So I get up in the morning. Right now, bear in mind, it was right after, you know, I went to bed, and I'm thinking about the staff incident with, you know, the serpent and, you know, Moses' serpent staff eating the magician's serpent staff, and thinking about the, you know, what's going on in the Gulf, and everybody saying it's the sea turning into blood, and the magicians in Egypt, and all that stuff. And I get up, and the first thing I see on the devotion, I didn't know this was coming, honestly, like, I don't know. I just turned on Logos, went to the morning, evening devotionals, and it had the Bible verse, and I think it was Exodus. Pretty sure it was Exodus. I'm not quoting from this, but it was the verse where, you know, the staff that Moses had swallowed the magician's serpent whole. Okay, and it went on to say that, you know, Satan can counterfeit things, but, and it was basically saying, but when God does something, you're going to know it. It's the real deal. Okay, and that was the beginnings, because over the first 60 days of this oil spill, I was getting hyped. I'm like, oh no, this could be it. I mean, it's just an oil spill, but what everybody's saying is they can't stop it, and there's billions of gallons of oil down there, and barrels of oil in this reservoir, and it hit the mother of all things, and it could be this underwater oil volcano, and, you know, what if it just spews and spews and spews for months? It's like 100,000 barrels a day, and it could just pollute like one-third of the ocean. And I'm sure you guys are relating, and, you know, you're thinking stuff like this too, you know, and they're like, oh, what about, you know, but it's got methane gas to it too, and you know, all this stuff, you know, so when this came to me, this was the start of the reversal process. And the Lord is awesome. Like, if you're willing to see through the deception that the world offers, like the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. So I started talking to my wife, Rebecca, about it. And she's like, you know, she's hardcore, like waiting for the next episode of True News and searching the internet. Is there any more information, any more news? Because out of just wanting to know if this was a real birth pain or sign, you know, of the Lord's return, and indeed it might turn out to be, I'm just trying to balance it with, you know, what I know and what the Lord's brought to me. But, you know, I started thinking about it, and it was two things. It was the Lord bringing that incident to me that night when I prayed about it, and it was the fact that, why did Matt Simmons go on True News? Why? It was like all the Christians that were so happy that George Bush got elected. They were just so happy. We've had so many evil presidents, and George Bush comes out and says he's a Christian. We're so glad to get him in. It's like the Christians get so glad about something that they get something that they don't look through it. It was like a Trojan horse, you know. It's like, you know, here's the white horse, but there's actually a black horse inside, you know. And I think that might have been what happened with this Matt Simmons interview, that it was so exciting that a Matt Simmons, you know, a millionaire oil guy, would come on to True News, that nobody really looked at it for what it was. Says, you know, I would have questioned him. I would have said, you know, what are you coming on here for? Why'd you choose this program? Like, I'm not the end-all and be-all to all news, and there's other programs you could go on. Like, is there an agenda here? I would have, like, you know, fired some stuff at them, you know, because when you put it on there, it's like, you know, it's like the whole thing about bringing the news stories out. Man, you got to be careful, or else you're just spreading their propaganda. I mean, this stuff is like psyops, man. It's put out there for a desired result, and if Christians just read the news story, first of all, it got its desired result. Whether you go back through and try to unscramble it and everything, and they still hurt it, it's like, okay, you know, let me give you heroin, and then try to give you an antidote. You know, like, just don't give them heroin. You know, that's the way I look at it. So, I'm probably all over the place tonight. You guys can listen to this two or three times if you want to make some sense of it. But I just wanted to warn you guys that, you know, not everything is as it seems. And I'm going to give you a couple examples, okay? Be careful with all these guests and all these podcasts and all these prophecies saying, I had a dream, you know, and I had a vision, and the Lord's wrath's coming. We all know the Lord's wrath's coming. But, you know, the Bible tells us that some people say things out of their own imagination, and some people do it to gain followers, you know, and that's what the end thing is in the Christian community, is to be like Moses and go out there with a stick and stick it down and turn the sea to blood and have this vision because it gets a lot of attention. But the truth of the matter is to speak the word of the Lord, to tell the truth. I'm going to read a section of scripture to you that delineates this, that's pretty important. I want everybody out there to listen. It's not about, you know, playing fancy music and being all dramatic and saying the Lord's going to bring judgment against this nation. You know, it's about telling the truth. And it's about letting God's word penetrate people's hearts. It's about letting God's word cut them to the heart. It's about them being able to hear spiritually. It's not about the delivery. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said, I speak not in the words of man's wisdom. And people wouldn't have said about him, oh, you know, this guy is not a very good speaker. You know, but it was because Paul had the Holy Spirit, and I could just sit here and talk all day just in this tone right now. And if one of you guys is out there and the Holy Spirit's hitting you with the message, like, you're going to respond to it, because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that has the power, not me. It's not my words, it's not my wisdom, it's not the cadence in my speech, it's not me going up or down with my tone, it's not any of that stuff. It is the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that speaks to his people, and it's his voice that people listen to, and they will run away from the voice of a stranger because they know it not. So let me read the words of Jeremiah. You guys can go back and read the whole chapter, but I'm going to start with Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. It says, "And among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. They are all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water." Now, isn't that interesting? I find it a little bit ironic that he's talking about poisoned water. "Because from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land." And what is ungodliness? I'm going to tell you. If you are saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord has not said, that is ungodliness. It just is. That's the worst ungodliness you can have. Let's not talk about drinking, smoking, you know, cursing. Let's talk about bringing a vision from the Lord if it's not from the Lord. If the Lord God has not said, then don't say the Lord say it, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord told me this. You better be sure. And I'm sorry I'm a little fired up about this, because I've had a vision from the Lord. And these people who flippantly get on the internet and talk about having a vision like, you know, it's the flavor of the day, and the Lord told me this last night, and you're not talking about how incredible of an experience it was, and your body shut down, and you fell as dead in his presence, and you weren't deathly pale like Daniel, and it wasn't distressing, and you didn't go away days after that being changed, then I'm sorry, I'm not listening. Because I've had a vision, and it changed my life. And it was not the funnest thing in the world in the flesh to have the Lord come near, because I felt like I was dying. Okay? And it was important when I had a vision. It was important. And I didn't immediately go out and just spout it out to everybody. I had a vision. I told people that were close to me. You know, people, just be discerning, okay? I'm trying to balance you. I'm trying to tell you not to turn away from people that have had real visions. I'm not trying to turn you away from real prophecies. I'm trying to say The narrow path is in the middle, and those that have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It is in the middle. It's the narrow path. It's that balance and that sweet spot. And those that have the Holy Spirit and don't want to follow their flesh and don't want to follow their flesh in religion, because, hey, I've got a vision and I've got that. You can have your flesh involved in religion as well. You can have your flesh involved in the world. You can have your flesh involved in religion. But we don't walk by the flesh. We walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit is truth. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. And that could be a hope about the Lord coming right now. A hope, if you're hoping that the tribulation is coming, it could be a false hope about the tribulation. Just focus on the word false. They fill you with falseness. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. Okay? But I would submit to you, just submit to you, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but haven't you found that the new Pharisee of the last days is the Pharisee of grace? It's twisted. Or the Pharisee of humility. The people that are now not boasting about the law, they're boasting of how much they're walking in grace, or how much, you know, how humble they are, and how they're not a Pharisee. So the new Pharisee's boasting is boasting about not being a Pharisee. Okay? And in doing so, they're becoming pharisaical about not being a law Pharisee. Now they're a grace humility Pharisee. Okay, so humility just is what it is. If you're humble, you probably won't even know it. All right. And if you're trying to be humble, it's not going to work. God is the one that humbles you. You just are humbled. Okay, so, you know, the new prophet, the new way to be in the church is to be a prophet of doom and a prophet of judgment. Now, there are prophecies of doom and judgment, but only the real ones. You can get a lot of attention real quick on the internet if you give this long, detailed, you know, parable, metaphor-type dream and interpretation. And, man, you can get a lot of attention real quick. That's the end thing. So those of you out there that are given visions, you better be sure it's from the Lord. And if it is, got nothing to say. Sorry, didn't mean to, you know, tread on you in any way there. But there is a lot of rampant false prophets out there. And my balance as a brother in Christ, all of the body works together. My thing here, and the Lord's laying on my heart, is to balance the brothers and sisters who were so quick to say, I had a dream. It says, Jeremiah 23, verse 18, but which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened, not only listened, but listen to this. Who has listened and heard his word? Like Jesus said, says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Jeremiah 23:19. See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire? Let me repeat that. Jeremiah 23:29. Listen. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? There you go. The two witnesses in Revelation. Says the two witnesses, fire proceeds from their mouth, and anyone who wishes to harm them, that's how they must die. Fire comes from their mouths. They're speaking the word of the Lord. It's not this Jerry B. Jenkins and Tim LaHaye thing in the Left Behind series where they actually breathe fire out of their mouth. They're speaking the word of God. They're speaking the truth. And God said, I killed you with the words of my prophets. I killed you with the words of my prophets. Is not my word like fire that will kill you? Because my word comes from the words of the prophets. So the two witnesses speak the word of God, and it kills them. It judges them. It spiritually kills them. It slays them. Like Paul says, the law will slay them. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. You see it all the time. You see it like happen, like somebody will give a vision, it'll catch on, it's like somebody gets jealous, so they steal that word, and they're like, I had a dream like that too, and I had a vision that had to do with that too, and you know, so-and-so in the 50s had a vision, and I had a vision like that too, and you know, they steal words from one another, and we don't even know if it's from the Lord, so be very careful. Be very cautious. Let no man deceive you in any way. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Listen, those of you who say, thus saith the Lord declares. Listen, those of you that say that you had a vision from the Lord and that God spoke to you and that the Lord declares. Jeremiah 23:32. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies, yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. When these people or a prophet or priest ask you, what is the oracle of the Lord? What is the prophecy of the Lord? Say to them, what oracle? I will forsake you, declares the Lord. If a prophet or a priest or anyone else claims this is the oracle of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. This is what each of you keeps on saying to his friend or relative. What is the Lord's answer? What has the Lord spoken? The Gulf oil spills here. Has anybody got a vision? Is there any prophecy? God's going to give a prophecy when there is a prophecy. And when there's a prophecy, you're going to know it. You're going to sense it that it's the shepherd's voice speaking. But you must not mention the oracle of the Lord again, because every man's own word becomes his oracle. And so you distort the words of the living God, the Lord Almighty, our God. This is what you keep saying to a prophet. What is the Lord's answer to you? Or what has the Lord spoken? Although you claim this is the oracle of the Lord, this is what the Lord says. You used the words, this is the oracle of the Lord, even though I told you that you must not claim this is the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, I will surely forget you and cast you out of my presence, along with the city I gave to you and your fathers. I will bring upon you everlasting disgrace, everlasting shame that will not be forgotten. So, this is a wake-up call, and this is a gut check, a spirit check. For all of you out there who are making prophecies and visions and sending me out on these watchman lists and everything and saying, thus saith the Lord, and I had a dream and I had a vision, you better test yourself to see if this came from the Lord. And if the Lord gave something to you, find out even if he wants you to bring it to the others. It's very, very serious. And then this is, you know, and the reason I'm bringing this out is because there's so many people out there just being flippant with these prophecies and visions, and it's cry wolf, cry wolf, cry wolf. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. this is going to be the end. This summer, God told me I had a vision, and this represented that, and there were white sheep, and there were black goats, and there was a barn, and we went in, and there was this horse that came down, and he had, like, a feather in his mouth, and the feather fell apart, and it flew onto the ground, and sheaves covered it, and a little inchworm came up, and the clouds came down and covered the inchworm until, like, the sky turned black, and we got sucked into a hole. Now, I'm sorry. I did that for a reason. I'm not trying to make light of real prophecies, but, I mean, some of these visions can get crazy. And the more dramatic, the further it goes on the internet. And all I'm telling you is, brothers and sisters, is to be discerning of these visions. You can read them, you take them in, but you listen for the shepherd's voice. You listen very careful and realize that there are people out there, there are wolves among the sheep who are trying to draw followers after them. And we're going to have to ask Father to help us discern through the Holy Spirit who we should listen to and who not. I'll tell you one thing that you can bank on it. You can take this to the bank. I hate to use a bank analogy, but it's a colloquialism that we use. If it does not match up with the Word of God, you throw it out. If it does not match and does not resonate on the same chord, at the same pitch, in the same tune as the Word of God, you throw it out. Don't even read it. Throw it out. Delete it on your email. If it's printed, tear it up and throw it in the trash can. Don't even give it a moment's notice. But I'm going to tell you what's happening, guys. I'm going to tie this all up together. I've got a couple other things I want to tell you, and I didn't mean for this podcast to be so long, but, you know, I'm getting a little winded tonight about things. Things are coming into my mind and on my heart as I'm speaking. Again, no notes, because I just got on here and I prayed before I got on here. I was like, Lord, lead me as to what to say. You know the verse, okay? I'm going to look it up here on Blue Letter Bible, okay? While we're speaking here, I'm just going to look it up because, Lord, I just feel the Lord is moving me to read this. Let's see if I can find it here. Let's see. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, if you want to get your Bibles. Some of you guys who know the Word of God probably know exactly what I'm going to talk about. It says, first of all, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Read that again. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? For ever since our fathers died, ever since the beginning of the world, everything's, I mean, things have happened over and over again. What's the deal, man? You guys just keep talking about the Lord coming, and they scoff, and they scoff at it. Okay? So, Jesus promised it. But he promised it once, and he told the truth about when it was going to happen. So what do you think adds to this scoffing? And I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying, think about this logically. What could possibly add to the fact that all these scoffers come? Could it be that the false prophets are out there crying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling? You know, wolf, wolf. I read Babylon's news services, the mainstream media, and they said this, and I read so-and-so's financial report, and the economy's going to crash this year, and that's going to lead to this, and I think the Bible says this, and the second trumpet, and the third trumpet, and, you know, and this news story, they're telling us, look, people, they're telling us the microchip's coming in, they're flaunting in our face, and you're reading all these stories, and you don't understand the one thing that's right in front of your face, that you're being manipulated by the news. They are putting weather balloon programs out there to get you hyped up into fear so that all of the people who, and a lot of these people may be genuine. I've succumbed to it. So I'm not saying that people don't love the Lord and that they're not doing it for a good reason. I mean, I understand, you know. It's like we don't think the world's going to listen, and so we're looking for anything that points that it could be the end of the world, or that people's lives are coming to a close. They'll think, see, the oil spill's happening, and Jesus is coming. You guys better get right with the Lord. And that's normal. You know, it's normal. It's a normal thing, but we are going to have to resist. We are going to have to ask the Lord what to say and what not to say, and to stop going on in the impulses in our flesh every time Babylon goads us into doing it with a news story. That, oh, this is going to be the end. Then you go around telling everybody, oh, you know, True News had Matt Simmons on. He said there's going to be evacuations, and you just go and spit the same thing out, and then the elites laugh at you and say, don't you understand? We know you want to witness. We know that your desire is to bring people in to proselytize and have them to be converted, and that there will be an effect. And so we just give you these false news stories over and over and over and over again. And you just keep crying wolf. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. This is it. I promise you. You cross this line, it's the end of the world. You cross this line, it's the end of the world. You cross this line, it's the end of the world. I swear this event is the one that's going to do it. And I swear it's this summer and I'm going to do this. And I had a vision. We had a dream. Why do you think the scoffers are going to come in the last days, brothers and sisters? Because you keep bringing the cry wolf mainstream media stories. You're biting on their bait. They're goading you into saying, this is it. Finally, this is it. Finally, this is it. And you keep saying it. And you're giving these prophecies saying, this is it. And it doesn't happen. And they know it's not going to happen. Well, they don't know. But that's what they're banking on. And pretty soon, people say, you're an idiot. They make us look like a fool because we relied on Babylon and we relied on our flesh to tell us. We took our own fleshly desires about the end, whatever your desire is in the end, to see the Lord quicker, to have the end come. Maybe you think the tribulation is going to be cool. It's going to be like Left Behind. It'll be exciting. It'll be a lot more exciting than your boring life of just working every day and coming home and feeling the big empty and plopping down on the couch. And watching the news. I don't know, man. I'm just babbling. Babbling in Babylon, you know? Because nothing, man. It's the big empty. And all of you know it. The world is the big empty. It's empty. We still have God's creation. But the Lord is turning his face away from Jacob. And that's why Israel cried out, oh Lord, please, please don't turn your face away from us. Let the light of your face shine upon us. Because joy doesn't come from things. It doesn't. Joy doesn't emanate, and happiness doesn't emanate from a material object. That's why you find people who enjoyed hobbies, when they get depressed, those same things. If those same things were emanating happiness and joy out of themselves, the person would get the joy and happiness when they went to it. It's because nothing has joy and happiness emanating from it. There is no energy emanating from a bicycle. The only reason you could have fun on a bicycle is because the light of his face is shining on you and you feel it's a good day and you're enjoying the wind in your face. You get depressed, the light of God's hope and the light of his face turns away from you. Everything becomes bleak, meaningless. And that's why Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity, everything is meaningless, saith the preacher. Because that saying in Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that saying, under the sun, is a catchphrase that means life without God, that you're just here in reality under the sun. You're in this reality. You have no clue of the spiritual. You have no light, no hope. This is it. Then everything's meaningless. If this is it, life is meaningless without God. It is only the light of his face that gives you joy. God is the one that gives you joy. If God decided to full blast the light of his face on you, you'd go look at a mulberry bush and you'd be so enthralled with it. You sit it for hours and feel all this joy and you just sit and look at it. And you'd be like, I don't need anything else. I mean, I hate to be exaggerating, but joy comes from God, and it's empty. And I think people are replacing this end times thing, this tribulation excitement, because of the big empty. Well, be careful. Do you really want it to happen? Because there are people just like you, and you could have been born somebody else. What if you were born somebody else and you were stuck in bondage to your own sin, and you didn't understand the gospel, and you're totally deceived by the enemy, and here's, you know, somebody else, you know, waiting for the end to come, can't wait till the tribulation happens. Like, wouldn't you want them to pray, if they were in touch with God, to give them more time to give the gospel? You know, woe to those who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It's a day of darkness, of thick clouds and thick blackness, without a ray of light, without a ray of hope, because that light is hope. So, you got the prophets out there crying wolf, telling everybody the sky's falling every 5 minutes, prophesying this vision and that, and I'm just giving an earnest, zealous request to my brothers and sisters, those of you out there that are ministering to other brothers and sisters, be sure that if you're mentioning a vision, just realize, read Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah 23 every time before you send a vision or a dream out in email. Or you go on a radio show and you talk about a dream or a vision you had. You read Jeremiah 23 and you work it out between the Lord to see if it really was, you know, from the Lord. Because this is serious. Because if you don't, Satan's going to goad you in to give in a dream and a vision, which is going to end up in crying wolf and the sky falling. And nobody's going to believe us in the end. We're destroying our credibility in the eyes of the masses. Because the Bible says you know a prophet when he says something and it comes to pass. That's it. So let us be careful. And if I sounded like I was a little harsh on some of my brothers like Nathan or Rick, I love you guys. I do. And I think deep in your heart, if you listen to this, they probably aren't listening, first of all. But if they listen to it, deep in your heart, you got to know where I'm coming from with this. You know as well as I do that you got to be serious when you're talking about a vision or a dream. You know as well as I do that the false visions and dreams is what's causing this cry wolf syndrome where nobody's going to believe us. And this is serious. And we've got to be careful with Babylon's news services, because there's psychological operations in that. Man, they know what they're doing. I had an experience, and I want to... I got two things I want to leave you with here at the end of this podcast. And if there's a little bit of, I don't know, breakup in this, please forgive me. I've been having problems with the Audacity recording program. I'm going to try to record this audio in here. But there's two things I want to bring to you. The first thing I want to bring to you is the fact that, and this isn't being reported on, MSNBC reported it. We'll see if it spreads now. And this could be more of the propaganda. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to do the whole make people go crazy and apathetic by saying, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. But no, it happened before. Or whatever, you know, because the stretching in both directions tends to confuse people, make them apathetic and not care. And the media and the world loves it when people don't care, when they get numb. So, but I do want you to know that this oil spill in the Gulf happened in 1979 as well. And I'm going to play this audio from a show on MSNBC. It was on the Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC. Just to let you know that the oil spill happened, that this oil spill in the Gulf, they're saying it's the worst in history. Well, that's wrong, because there was a Gulf oil spill in June of 1979. And it was actually worse than this one is now. It washed up on the coast of Mexico, washed up on the coast of the United States. And if you, as Rachel will tell you in this video, if you listen to the news stories back in 79 and you closed your eyes, no one would be able to blame you for thinking you're hearing current news stories. I mean, they use the same tactics to clean it up. It's the same thing. It's the same thing over and over again. And because of this, I believe that they feel like they know what they're doing. They feel like they have this under control because they had this happen in 79 and they were able to stop it. And it was actually worse than this. The only difference was is it was at a more shallow depth. It was at like, I think like 50 meters or something. And this is at like 5,000. I'm not sure. It was a lot more shallow of a depth. But they know how to stop this. And this is why I think Matt Simmons was so zealous to get on True News and talk to the Christians, because he knew that a lot of people will listen, they'll pass it on, it'll spread the fear, they'll be talking more about the third trumpet. It knocks a lot of birds out with one stone. You know, they get fear about the environment, they may be able to get the carbon tax passed. It could be a real distraction while they move and do things in the Middle East, maybe with Iran. Not only that, but he gets all the Christians revved up. It's the end of the world. This guy's falling, and this is the third trumpet, and this is horrible. And then they block it up. Nothing happens, and the world looks at us like we're idiots. They're like, every time, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings, you think it's the end of the world. Okay, and that might be exaggeration, but it's to drive the point home. So I'm gonna play the video from this audio. You guys, I'll have the I'll have the URL for this video up on the truestreamoasis.blogspot.com blog. I'll also put it in on the Podomatic site, and hopefully it'll be up on truestreamoasis.com as well. What we call the podcast notes. I'll have that up there so you guys can actually watch the video. But go ahead and take a moment to listen to this audio and think about why you haven't heard this before and why everybody is going on and on and on like this never happened before. Listen to the audio on this video. Give it a listen.
Today in Alaska, crude oil production was all but stopped on the North Slope. Oil companies operating there were told to cut their production by more than 80% after thousands of barrels of crude oil spilled from the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. The 800-mile Trans-Alaska oil pipeline, at least for right now, is shut down. That spill in Alaska is happening, of course, in the shadow of a much larger spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And, actually, you know what, if it's okay with you guys, in the control room, I think we should just probably just have me stop doing this now and let the gravitas white guy anchor do this part. Let's do that.
In Alaska, the pipeline has been repaired. Oil is expected to flow again today. But that crack that developed Sunday allowed 1,500 barrels of crude oil to escape. 700 barrels recovered. And in the Gulf of Mexico, oil workers are trying to handle a much larger oil spill. A burning offshore oil well is dumping 30,000 barrels of crude each day into the Gulf.
So, yeah, that was from 1979, June 13th, 1979. That NBC News anchor reporting on a pipeline spill in Alaska on the same day that an oil well was leaking out of control and burning in the Gulf of Mexico. 31 years ago, in June 1979, an oil well called the Ixtoc blew out in the Gulf of Mexico. It started spewing thousands of barrels of crude oil into the Gulf every day. And it's not just the disaster itself that should sound familiar to you. It's also the techniques that they were using at the time to try to contain the spill.
Airplanes are to be used to drop chemicals on the oil, but there is a shortage of aviation fuel down there. And workers are also putting up a mile-long boom. They're putting it into place. They're trying to contain the oil slick in the Gulf of Mexico.
Chemical dispersants being spread across the Gulf by plane, mile-long booms being set up to contain the oil slick on the surface. If you close your eyes and you just listen to these news reports from 1979, you would be forgiven for thinking that you had flipped on the news today. The Ixtoc rig erupted in the middle of the night in 1979 in June as it was drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. The drilling was being done by a company called Sedco. Sedco later became known as Transocean, the operator of the rig that blew up this year in the Gulf of Mexico. The reason the Ixtoc explosion turned into a massive uncontrolled leak 30 years ago is because the well's blowout preventer malfunctioned. Sound familiar? The blowout preventer failed to stop the Ixtoc leak, and what followed was an environmental disaster the likes of which the country had never seen before.
Floating barriers are still being stretched across the waterway near South Padre Island to keep approaching oil from spoiling this popular sport fishing area, which is also vital to shrimp fishing and endangered wildlife. Oil skimming vessels are also being put into service to catch any patches of oil which may get through. About 5 miles offshore, another team of private oil containment workers is prepared to intercept drifting oil before it gets to land. The Coast Guard has already said it will be impossible to get it all, and they're particularly concerned about oil moving underwater.
Plumes of oil moving underwater. Oil containment teams, skimming vessels. Again, these are not badly colorized reports from the BP oil disaster in the Gulf right now. This is reporting from deja vu land, from essentially the same disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, but in 1979. The only thing missing back then was worries that the loop current would carry the oil out of the Gulf of Mexico all the way to the coast of Florida. Oh, wait.
There is now a distinct possibility that oil spilling from that runaway Mexican well could spread as far as the Gulf Coast of Florida. That from an official of the EPA.
The Ixtoc disaster in 1979 in the Gulf of Mexico went on for weeks. Then weeks turned into months. The reason it went on for so long is because even though oil companies were allowed to drill offshore like that, it turns out they didn't know how to stop a leak when disaster struck. Nothing they tried worked.
In the Gulf of Mexico, rain and heavy seas are hampering efforts to cap a Mexican oil well. It has been spilling since June 3rd, the worst spill in history. Workers are trying to put a giant cone over the well. Despite inclement weather, they may try again today.
Trying to put a giant cone over the well. In 2010, this giant cone strategy is what we were sort of euphemistically calling the top hat. I wonder if they had a euphemistic name for it back in 1979.
Mexican officials are calling it Operation Sombrero. Workers have been trying since the weekend to put a 300-ton steel cone over the mouth of the runaway well. Officials say once in place, the cone will collect up to 90% of the crude oil, which has been gushing from the well for more than 3.5 months. From 10,000 to 30,000 barrels a day have flowed into the Bay of Campeche and the Gulf of Mexico.
As with BP's top hat, the Ixtoc spills, Operation Sombrero ultimately failed to stop the leak. But they had other ideas back then that were sure to solve the problem. Ideas like shooting metal spheres into the well to cut the flow of oil. You might call that today a junk shot. They also tried pumping cement and salt water into the leaking well to try to jam it up. You might call that a top kill maneuver. Neither of those things worked. For months and months and months and months and months, the Ixtoc well continued to leak uncontrollably until...
Two relief wells are still being drilled to relieve pressure on the blown-out well, so it eventually can be capped.
Relief wells. 9 agonizingly long months after the Ixtoc well exploded, a pair of relief wells finally allowed the engineers to cap the leaking well. That was 31 years ago. I am 37 years old, and this happened when I was 6. Those haircuts are back in fashion. And the stuff that did not work back then is the same stuff that hasn't worked now. Same busted blowout preventer, same ineffective boom, same underwater plumes, same toxic dispersant, same failed containment domes, same junk shot, same top kill. It's all the same technology. The Ixtoc well, which couldn't be plugged for 9 months, was in roughly 200 feet of water. Now in 2010, we're using the same exact techniques to try to plug a well that is leaking in 5,000 feet of water. Now look, maybe this top kill maneuver will work. We obviously hope and pray that it does. Praying does seem wiser than hoping at this point. That said, as we reported earlier this hour, BP executive Doug Suttles says tonight that it looks like it's drilling mud and not oil that is what's now coming out of the ruptured well, but they can't tell for sure. The thing that's essentially been guaranteed to work in the past is a relief well, and that's still months away from being complete. The oil companies keep talking about how technologically advanced they are, but what they've gotten technologically advanced at is drilling deeper. They haven't gotten any more advanced on how to deal with the risks attached to that. They haven't made any technological advances in the last 30 years when it comes to stopping a leak like this when it happens. All they've gotten better at is making the risks worse by putting these leaks further out of our reach. Well, hey, congratulations. Now the thing you can't stop is a full mile underwater. That's all they've gotten better at. That and making themselves the most profitable industry the universe has ever seen, and I am not exaggerating.
Officials say the oil could reach all the way to Florida as it continues to threaten the U.S. coast for months. William Monroe, NBC News, South Padre Island, Texas.
Okay, so you can see after listening to the audio on that piece there by Rachel Maddow that exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of you guys right now are probably sitting back saying, "What? What's going on here?" You know, I know when I brought this to my wife, she looked totally disillusioned. You know, but she was all hyped up listening to a lot of these podcasts that are talking about the oil spill. And the one thing that struck my wife, and I realize, you know, is the fact that how come nobody's mentioned this? It was only 1979. It wasn't like, you know, the 1920s when people who may not still be alive or even been old enough to remember it. This happened in 1979. But, you know, as I've said, it's like revolutions, you know, it's like that swirly thing, you know, that the Illuminati are so fond of, that Sega Dreamcast swirly symbol, you know, that illuminating, that path to illumination. They take us in circles, and that each time they have an event and they repeat the same pattern of events, it's more impactful, and they keep running us through it and running us through it until totally just humanity just comes to the point like, oh, I get it. They're illuminated, you know, supposedly. So that's why they have revolutionary wars, that revolving effect. They do it over and over and over again until they achieve their goals. They use the same pattern. It's like Satan gave them 13 events to do, and they just do it over and over and over again with a different flavor until it's like he told them, oh, if you just keep working these 13 events revolving over and over again, in different ways with more impact, eventually you'll get where you're, you know, we're trying to get here. So, you know, it just history repeats itself. And I guarantee you that they're feeling pretty good that they can stop this, you know. So they've got their agenda, whatever that agenda is. It could be the carbon tax, could be, you know, a distraction for a world war. It could be it's probably all of them, some of all of them. They're knocking out a lot of birds with this one stone. But the thing is that, yeah, it causes disillusionment. I mean, they're lying. They're lying. The news just lies. The government lies. And when I say they lie, I'm talking 100% they lie. And the news lies for them. You know, we're seeing like Fox News turn into like a big public, like a press release for businesses. The news is just becoming a big press release thing, you know, where they have businesses and these news stories come out. Oh, well, you know, I'm, you know, about all this fraud and people are taking advantage of my mother and I just don't think they should do that. And then, you know, so they have this news story and then they mention a business that's fighting against this when under the guise of news, it's really nothing but a press release designed for marketing to get attention. And they do this time and time again. Just watch Fox News. They call it a Fox News Extra. Okay. Most of the news is tabloid news now. You know, they've got stories of, you know, serious things, and then, you know, the Gulf oil spill, and the next thing is on is, you know, plastic surgery and, or, you know, some stupid thing, and they just go back and forth, serious to lighthearted. They're taking you to the seriousness, which tends to wake you up, and then they take you back into the fantasy with something that's, you know, just frivolous, and this back and forth motion, it just creates apathy to where confuses the mind. It's all a psychological operation. They know what they're doing, but the news lies. They lie. Now, I'm going to bring something to you guys that Alex Jones covered, and I picked up on it the other night, so I got to give him credit for bringing this out. This was probably brought out a while ago, but it just illustrates the purpose. For those of you guys who are old enough to remember clearly the first Gulf War back in 1990, it was Operation Desert Shield, and then in 91 it turned, I think it was January of 91, it turned into Operation Desert Storm, okay? My brother, Rob, was in this battle. He was there from the very beginning. He was in a reconnaissance unit, one of the first guys to go into Iraq, and he saw unspeakable things. If it wasn't for that, after seeing this news story, I would wonder if there ever was an Iraqi war, because, the first Gulf War, because this just, talk about disillusionment. I mean, I was, 1990, I was about 21 years old at that time, and, 21 when the war started. And I was my wife was pregnant with my first child, my daughter, and was young, and I had not gotten to the point where I didn't totally distrust the media. You know, back then we just didn't know to not trust the media the way that we do now. But be that as it may, to keep this thing rolling along, kind of just get caught up here and trying to figure out how to deliver this. One of the things was that I was so riveted by this that I think a lot of people, it was the first war that was played out on the television screen. And, this was a big thing. It was the first thing that really kicked it off with CNN was I forget who the two reporters are, but those two reporters that were stuck in that hotel and they were looking out and they were showing the camera and you were seeing all these bombs going off in night vision, and they had this little four-wire system that they were communicating by, and it was crazy. It was, I think it was Bernard Shaw was one of them, and I can't remember the other guy's name. He retired, but that was a big deal, and that's kind of what set it off. It was that one moment when the bomb started to fly. You know, the plane started coming over, and the Iraqis, army was shooting up, and they were sending flares up. You could see the bullets at nighttime, and it was all this stuff. And, man, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that was such an imprint. You know, like, it was the war on television. Like, it was real, you know. And so I was glued to it, and I determined that, for future posterity, that I would record it all on VCR tape. So I had tons of, I went out and bought tons of VHS tapes. I was recording 24 hours a day on CNN to catch things. I was like, my kids can bring these in for, book reports on history. And little did I was asleep at the time. I didn't know that if I did that, I'd probably be passing the lies on and changing history. Helping them, this is the way it happened because CNN said it happened, So yeah, I was very naive. But one of the besides that first entry foray into the war with CNN, Bernard Shaw and the other guy whose name escapes me, it's annoying me. I wish let it go, Amos. But one of the things that affected me was the other report. It was by a reporter named Charles Jaco. And he was supposedly outside, and he's reporting, and the sirens go off, and they had to put their gas mask on, and, the other guy, that came in, and he was interviewing, had to put his helmet on. It was all serious, and, man, it was just created all this fear. And I look back at it, and I realize how stupid and how low-tech it was and everything, but that... I didn't know. Okay, I know the news lied, but I didn't realize that it was like this deep. So, a couple nights ago, I was surfing through Alex Jones' YouTube channel. I saw something. I was looking for something on the Gulf War spill. Led to something else, and then I saw this thing about fake CNN footage, and I clicked on it, and Alex was talking about, how the news is fake. And I have to admit that I listened to some things that Alex Jones says, and I'm like, man, he's just like, a fearmonger, and he takes it to the extreme. But now I wonder, because, after seeing this video, I was just blown away. I knew they lied, but I didn't realize it went to this extent. I mean, this is literally like wag the dog type deception. I mean, this was a total put on. And because this one report was the thing that I remember from the Gulf War the most, and it was the biggest imprint on my mind, I feel totally and absolutely and utterly betrayed that I felt that they made me feel these emotions that I felt when I saw this, and the fear that ensued afterwards in my life about the state of the world based on a fake news report. I'm talking fake, okay? 100% fake. Somebody got a hold of the satellite feed of this news report. Now, I'm going to play the audio, but I want every one of you guys to go to TrueStreamOasis.com, to Podomatic, TrueStream.Podomatic.com, or to TrueStreamOasis.blogspot.com and get the link to this video, okay? I want every one of you guys to watch this. And for those of you guys that are of the generation where you literally remember the news report by Charles Jaco where this happened, and you may not know this, just look up. For your redemption draws nigh. We're surrounded by liars. They know what they're doing. I can't even believe these news reporters. Back then, as Alec Jones says, they had the news reporters being actors, and now they've just bypassed news reporters, and they're just hiring like people that have to act as a prerequisite to really get up into the anchor positions to really get yourself seen. They have to be actors. And they have to learn how to speak. I mean, there is a clever enchanter thing to this. Like, you have to know how to chant. You have to know how to speak right to get people into that hypnotic state, to project that authority, and to bypass the cognitive mind and go directly into the subconscious so that the listener will disengage and allow what you're saying. You're to be trusted. You're an authority, and you speak in those measured tones. And that is a magic art. I don't care what anybody says. It's one of the arts. So, but I want you guys to go and watch this video. But for right now, I'm going to play the audio and just listen to it. It starts out where Charles Jaco is making a news report. And then he tries it again. And then you'll hear him go into this whole thing about a Scud missile. And he's holding this really... terribly made, homemade, made out of like paper machete Scud missile, and they got Scud written on it with a black magic marker. And then they have these little fake things written on it, like graffiti written on it, where it says Larry King Show or Bust. And they're making all these jokes, and the camera guy's looking in there, and as they, you know, a lot of laughing's going on, they're showing something on the TV screen, and you find out that this whole report was done in the basement of a hotel with a fake palm tree, a fake studio, and that he wasn't looking around like there was a missile. It was all a big lie, and they put on a big act. It was all fake. Absolutely 100% fake. Okay? So I want you guys to take a moment, listen to this audio. I'm going to stop babbling for a minute. You guys, open your ears, put on your thinking caps, and listen to this very intently.
Now, again, as we said, we're not sure what caused this. It could possibly, and we emphasize possibly, have been a ground impact of a Scud. It could have been a ground impact of a Patriot, or it could have been the result of debris falling between the two of them. We just don't know right now, but we do know that at least two Scud missiles incoming were fired at Riyadh, and according to the Saudi military, they were both shot down. Charles Jaco, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia. Was almost exactly 2 hours ago when the sirens went off here in Saudi Arabia. Where we are in eastern Saudi Arabia, there was no problem. However, there was an intercept elsewhere near the capital city, Riyadh. We've got some videotape of that you can take a look at right now. Hi, Atlanta. We're about to have a short course in missile identification. This is a Scud. You can tell it by its distinctive label. Now, when the missile is launched, the first thing you look for is the plume sticking out behind it. Now, when you detect this, you can tell it's been launched. Thank you.
See the graffiti on it? Yeah, show me graffiti.
Larry King Show or Bust. Look at this.
Look at this.
Look at this shit.
Look at. Believe that. Let me say hi.
The top 10 things about Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Maybe we could shorten the list to 5.
Oh God, geopolitics by Dan Quayle.
Je suis un journaliste américain.
Wolf.
Wolf.
Wolf. Oh, I love this country so much.
You guys just don't have a clue.
Well, Cheryl, it was almost exactly 2 hours ago when the sirens went off here in Saudi Arabia. Where we are in eastern Saudi Arabia, there was no problem. Let me just size my mask and fit it for a second, just like I always do. Stand by, please. All clear. They're... Shh. What are they saying? Are they saying all clear?
Yes, ma'am. I can't hear.
Were they saying all clear down there just now?
Okay.
All clear. All clear. At Tabien was a false alarm. Got that, Atlanta? Standing down now. I'm gonna go get my hamburger and my coffee.
Good. We just got the all clear.
All clear. Every time I order something, this happens. All clear. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm starting to get real bothered by all this. Boy, did I almost look stupid. Charles Jaco, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia. No, wait a minute. Whoa, hold it, homeboy. I'm the talent here, you dig? A couple of explosions, what may have been an outgoing Patriot... ground-to-air missile, some reported airbursts that may have been an intercept of an incoming Scud missile. We're really not sure. All we know is that the air raid sirens have gone off, and we've heard the outgoing roar of at least one Patriot missile. We've heard some sort of airburst. We can't tell where it was from where we are right now. We're waiting to see what's happening. As you can hear, the air raid sirens are still going off around us. People are, strangely enough, used to it. This is the first one of these attacks that's taking place early in the morning, but they're... not showing you anything other than what we've got now. What did you see there? Is that a missile going out? We're not quite sure. We can't show you anything else than what we're seeing right now because of military regulations. We are not allowed to show you where the missiles might be going, what direction they might be flying in, where the airburst might be taking place. There's obviously something going on. We heard another dull roar that shook things a little bit, and we're waiting to see what else is going on. Right now, that's about all we know, that something is happening. We're hearing pops and things shaking. But people are staying relatively calm around here. People evacuated in an orderly way to the shelters, but apparently there is something going on. The Patriot missiles, we're assuming they're Patriots, have gone outbound, and we've heard some explosions, that's about it for right now. We'll get back to you when we know something else. Something is happening here, and we're watching, we're scanning the skies for something else coming in, but right now we can't see much of anything, and frankly, this is what we can show you on television right now because of military restrictions from both the Saudis and the U.S.
CD, if you need to take cover, I notice that you've got your gas mask in your hands. If you need to put it on, please do so. If you need to take cover, please do so. If you are able to take a question, did you think that the possible threat would be over because it is now morning there? It's what, just after 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, the whole thing is everyone assumed that the threat would be over because it was early morning. But the thing about Saddam Hussein is that he has never done the expected. And right now we have, once again, been surprised with the unexpected, an air raid, an apparent attack, although we can't say what the outgoing missiles hit, at approximately 20 after 7 in the morning Saudi Arabian time. All the other attacks have occurred from 10 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning. This is the first one to take place in eastern Saudi Arabia during the daylight hours. Now, that sound you hear behind me is the hotel.
Richard Thicker.
It's not the national.
By afternoon.
So people are looking up in the sky, scanning the skies to see what they can see. Do we see much of anything out there? Can we see much of anything? Okay, well, apparently there was some word of outgoing. Again, we cannot be specific about the direction. All right, we are now led to understand that there are also firings in another city in Saudi Arabia. CNN's Carl Rochelle is here with me. He just came up.
Pearl, I know we can't be very specific given these restrictions, but within those parameters, what did you see?
Well, what I saw, I didn't see anything hit. I looked almost straight above us, and there's a vapor trail coming from my right to my left, and there's a cloud of something. It looks like it might have been an explosion, a cloud, I'd say. My apologies for that.
He's putting on a gas mask. There hasn't been any gas dropped here that we could tell.
You smell anything?
No.
Oh.
You may smell some of the fumes from a missile exhaust going off. The missiles use a rocket, a cordite, some sort of burning. We just heard a little thump just then. But
I have to apologize for that. I caught a whiff of something and felt momentarily dizzy. You're more experienced military affairs than I am, but it might have been a little gas from the rocket exhaust. It wasn't anything. A lot of people have their respirators on just in case.
You run to get down here. In my case, jumped out of bed hearing the air raid warning go on. You run down three flights of stairs to get out of here. It's probably 100 yards. You hyperventilate a little bit, and you're nervous.
One thing we have to point out, just so people won't think people are panicking, most people are in their shelters. They've taken cover in their shelters, and in the time we've been in Saudi Arabia, I've not seen any evidence of panic in the streets or people running around. People are not exactly taking this as a matter of course, but there's been no wholesale panic or anything. People are taking orderly precautions to deal with the stuff that's going on right now.
Okay, everything seems to be quiet. What I saw when I walked down, when I came running down, someone had said there is a hit upstairs over our heads, right straight up above us. And I looked up, and you could see the vapor trail, the contrail that's made by an aircraft or a rocket at high altitude. And there was a round puff of smoke that indicated something happened at that point, a lot of smoke. It could be a hit from one of the Patriots taking down a Scud missile inbound or taking down an aircraft for that matter. But right now, where we are, we have absolutely seen nothing happen. A little boom one time, a small boom, could have been the sound traveling from high on. That's not actually confirming that anything happened. We don't know that there is a hit or anything. We're just telling you what we think and what we see at this point. The air raid sirens are running. The air raid is going on. Could very well be something has happened, but we're all safe right here. The reason I'm wearing a helmet is because it's easier and safer to put it on your head than it is to carry it around in your hand. If you're just trying to be prudent, CD is carrying his gas mask with him. I have mine strapped on at my side. You'll get some indication that there is gas, and one of the indications that there has been gas, there'd be an explosion pretty close to you. There has to be a way to deliver it. As far as we know, they have not yet delivered any in a rocket vehicle, in a Scud-type vehicle down to this area or anywhere else. Could happen, but there should be plenty of warning on that.
Yeah, Carl, and again, I have to apologize for the audience for yelling gas and putting the gas mask on, but what happened is Carl explained is sometimes when the propellant goes off, I believe that's what it would be, you get this whiff of something. I felt momentarily choked up and dizzy and thought, well, better safe than sorry. And it turned out that was not the case. But again, that could have just been the propellant from the outgoing missile. We have seen streaks outgoing. We heard a bang. But as Carl said, there's no hard evidence that anything was hit. We know what we saw, but we can't speculate about what was in it or what it was. And so far, there's been no evidence that the Iraqis have been able to use chemical warheads in any of these scuds.
We're concerned about chemicals. It's certainly well taken. I've been through at least three or four breathing fires.
Gentlemen?
Gentlemen. Yes.
Excuse me for breaking in. Charles Jaco, Carl Rochelle.
Okay, so you checked out that audio there. I'm pretty sure those of you who didn't know that this was a fake broadcast may have met with the same disillusioned and angry emotions that I had, because that was one of the moments during the CNN coverage of the first Gulf War that really impacted me heavily. So, you know, yeah, I mean, He's practicing the newscast, you know. It's so fake. I mean, they're looking around. Once you know what's going on, you can see through it. And then it just makes you feel stupid because you're like, why? How did they get that by me? You know, and then it breaks trust in people But what it also tends to do is it breaks your own trust in your ability to discern deception. And this is what I've talked about with people getting into the conspiracies. And one of the reasons why the conspiracies are coming out is because they want to break that trust. There is a new world order coming, and they want to break down the old. They want to bring in a new currency. They're going to deliberately destroy the old. They want you to be ready for a new system. They want to bring out all the lies about the old, because it's like those old infomercials, you know, like the Ginsu knife. Those of you who are in America, the Ginsu knife is like supposedly a really sharp knife. And, you know, you have the Ginsu knife, and they're like, this is the best knife. It slices tomatoes in one slice. It'll cut through a can, and it never dulls, and it's great. Until some other knife comes out, you know, a new version of the Ginsu, and then they're like, you know, they're showing the person using the old Ginsu, and they're like, remember how you had problems with this knife? And then the person makes a face, and their face scrunches up, and they have a little red circle with a line through it, you know, like, don't do that. You need the new Ginsu too, you know, and that's the way it is, you know. The old system was great, and they wouldn't let the lies out, and they'd tell you the best things about it, but once it's time to go on to the new system, then they start letting all the lies out, and they got to get, because you're not going to embrace the new system unless you believe the old system is tired and outdated and is a big lie. So, you know, that's all this stuff's coming out. But yeah, people are disillusioned. You're going to lose trust in your government. You're going to lose trust in people. You're going to lose trust in what you thought. It, you know, it's going to crash in on your reality. Your cognitive dissonance, the ability for your mind to repel the truth, to stay in your little reality, into your little fantasy that everything's happy, shiny people world, is going to be smashed. Okay, and they, you know, Satan takes advantage of every move. He's not that smart. He's just, I mean, if you've been around for thousands of years, you know, you're going to learn things. God did give him wisdom. He said he became proud and arrogant because by reason of his brightness and his wisdom. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. And so he knows how to deal with man. He knocks several birds out with each stone. This disillusionment, this whole thing that's necessary to break down the old system so you'll accept the new, will also can be used to break your trust. And he's the author and the king of lies. His native language is lying. So once you break that trust, now you're going to become a paranoid, suspicious person. You're going to have evil suspicions about everything. And I've talked about this. You're going to think there's conspiracies behind every rock, every bush, you know, every floor you walk on, there's a conspiracy under it. And every time you look at the television, there's a conspiracy. Oh my gosh, I can't look at the news anymore because I just see it as all false. There are a bunch of actors with a bunch of screens that are trying to hypnotize me and make it more impressive so I'll believe the lie. I can't look at, you know, my favorite television show, Friends or something, because they're all just actors and this world's a lie. And welcome to the world. Why everybody goes back to sleep? Because as soon as you open your eyes and you start seeing the reality, there's such darkness, it's so frightening and it's so overwhelming that many people are like Neo in the Matrix, are like, no, no, this can't be real. It's gonna pop. And he vomited. You know, because like some people, man, when they're pulled out of their reality and they see the truth of what's going on around them, man, it is a shocker. And sometimes it causes like severe mental distress to people, you know? So this can be a difficult thing. I mean, no wonder people want to close their eyes and go back to sleep. No, I don't wanna see that. I wanna go back to sleep and I wanna watch the Smurfs and I wanna watch Friends and I wanna watch Anderson Cooper and I just wanna come home and relax from work and I wanna make money and go to the mall and go to Walmart and eat a big piece of steak and ignorance is bliss. You know, I mean, that's why Jesus said, our master, Jesus told us, you see, guys, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Jesus told us, he's like, don't go back to sleep. Keep your eyes open, watch and pray. Keep your eyes open, watch that no man deceives you in any way. That's why he told us not to go back to sleep. It was going to be difficult because he knows the human condition. He looked at his disciples and he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why I told the parable of the 10 virgins. The cry went out at midnight. Could that be 9/11? And all the virgins woke up. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and 5 ended up going back to sleep. They went back to their old life. They didn't keep oil in their lamps. The oil is the picture of the Holy Spirit and the truth. And when the bridegroom was delayed in his coming, it took a long time. Like, everybody thought the Lord was going to come back a lot quicker from 9/11. What if it takes a few years? Are the 5 foolish virgins going to go back to sleep and say, oh, my Lord delayeth his coming. Let me go back out and beat my fellow servants or eat and drink with the drunkards, do whatever. Only to find out it's too late because they slept through his arrival. I don't know. The word of God goes out in all directions, and he gets it providentially to those that need it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that laces these words with power to those to make them feel like they are being spoken to directly by God through a podcast. That God is speaking to you. Have you fallen asleep? Are you disillusioned? Do you need to get into the Word of God? Do you need to repent? Are you hearing the loving voice of the shepherd saying, come home, come home? This world is crazy, okay? But good news. See, all of this is the bad news. The good news is the gospel. It's good news. Why is it good news? Because we are being saved from such a deadly peril. Oh, but you didn't see the deadly peril. When we said that before, that we're being saved from such a deadly peril, you acquiesce to it because you're like, well, that's what the Bible says and it has to be true. But now you're seeing the reality of it. That there is a beast system out there, and then it tramples truth to the ground. When the Bible says it tramples it to the ground, I mean it tramples it to the ground. Trample, 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 trample. It's pushed into the mud, buried beneath the feet of the beast. What, they're changing language to where when we express thoughts, it doesn't even impact anybody anymore. And just listen, listen, listen. All these people talk, 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 talk. Babylon, Babylon. I mean, you pull out Google Earth from America or any country and you see all the lights and all the radio stations and all the podcasts all over the internet. And this is it. We think this. And all these talking heads are going back and forth and talk, 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 talk. The end is coming. The sky is falling. I got this vision and this is the third trumpet and so-and-so did this and it's the Republicans and the Democrats and this is a bunch of spin. You've entered the nose spin zone, and you just do all these radio stations. The guy calls Babylon Rahab the do nothing, because it's all talk, talk, talk. It's all a bunch of lies. Welcome to your wake up call. It's a bunch of lies. The only truth, and I'm grabbing my Bible here, folks. The only truth you will find in this world is the Word of God. The only truth you will find in this world is the Word of God. Everybody on every continent, wherever you are listening to my voice right now, you hold on to the Word of God like it is your very breath. It is your only food. It is the only way that you will stay sane in this world in the cup of Babylon's madness. Because this world is swirling. It is a whirlwind. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The Word of God is the only hope you have for salvation. Hold on to it with all of your life. Take it seriously. If you've not looked at your Bible lately, look at it as a miracle that it is still here. And then you can read it. Cry out to God for mercy, because we need to repent. But guess what? You know as well as I do that if you're in sin, we're all in sin. We're all sinners. Nobody escapes sin. But if you're in sin, you need to cry out to God for mercy. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the gift of repentance, because nobody can repent without the Holy Spirit. It's not happening. You can sit there and get on the mic and tell people to repent day after day after day, and ain't nothing going to happen. The Bible says that Paul the Apostle says that even repentance is a gift from God. So it's all about the Lord. I'm sorry to give you a wake-up call that you have nothing to do in your salvation. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are a dead man like Lazarus. Lazarus. You're a dead man in the tomb like Lazarus. You stinketh. Ephesians 2, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and you hath he quickened. It is the Spirit of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and you can't hear. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You cannot hear what the Spirit says to the churches unless you hear the word of God. And the only way you can hear it is faith. And faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the word of God. So how do you get faith? By hearing the word of God. The word of God opens up your calloused ears so that you can hear spiritually what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of God over and over and over again. Dedicate yourself to public reading of the word. Read it when you go to sleep. Listen to it on your iPhone. Listen to it on your iPod. Listen to it while you're asleep. Get up in the day, but you get in the Word of God and you feed on the Word of God and this bread, because if you don't, you're going to get to the point where you're not hungry anymore, because it's the opposite of spiritual. The spiritual hunger is the opposite of physical hunger. If you don't feed on it, you will get less hungry. The more you feed on it, the more hungry you get. You need the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be abiding in His Word, being connected to the vine, because the branches wither if you're not connected to the vine. And these are perilous days, folks. Perilous days. Dangerous days. These are dangerous days to live in, because there is a billboard that will tell you to buy something that will make you feel good. There is a television show that will make you laugh. They will put you to sleep. They will numbify you. Not mummify you, numbify you. You will be numb and you will become ineffective and you will lose the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit promises us that if you cry out to Him, the Comforter will come and He will lead you into all truth and you will have power. The two witnesses lie dead in the street for a time and a half a time. But there comes a time when God says, come up here. And they're raised up and they go up into heaven in a cloud. This is the time, this is the place, this is the moment. Nobody's setting dates. And we sure ain't going to listen to mainstream media, because they could be doing the whole fake thing of the magicians in Egypt. Who knows what they're doing? Maybe they're trying to fake all these events in the Bible to make it look like it is the tribulation, it is God's judgments. And then some kind of thing happens and we fall into thinking it's this golden millennium age. And it's the wrong timing, because God says when there's peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. Maybe there's a false beginning of a millennium, so we think we've entered that golden age. Who knows? God does. God says that He seals us in our foreheads. He says in Revelation 7, according to the 144,000, the 12 tribes, the 12,000, the 144,000, which really is representative of all believers, let me seal the servants of God in their foreheads before you harm the sea or the land or the trees or the grass. Okay? Paul says you were sealed with that precious Holy Spirit. What is that seal? You are sealed with the truth in your mind, but what are you sealed with? The Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit said to have done? He's the one that leads you into all truth. So if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth, you are sealed with the truth. You cannot be deceived, because if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But do you have the Holy Spirit? Test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Cry out to God. God is your only link. It's prayer. It's reading His word and talking back to Him through prayer. It ain't about casting out demons and prophesying in His name and doing all this and that, man. It's about the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that does it. That's why when the people said to the Lord, 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 did we not do this? Did we not do this? And the Lord's sitting there saying, no, you didn't do it. That's the problem, is that you did it. To be honest, that's the problem, because you did it. It wasn't the Holy Spirit working through you. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? For it is by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's going to be works, but those works are done by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dwelling within you, working powerfully through you, and you can't believe it because you're such a wretched sinner. You're like, how can I sin and be so wretched, like Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death?
I count all things that I have done but dung, except for Christ who works through me. I count everything but dung. It's only Christ. That's why we lay our crowns down at his throne. Because we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Rise up. I know you guys are feeling the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you're hearing the energy in these words, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, pleading with you. Because we fear God, we plead with people to be reconciled to the Lord. Because there is a Creator, and He is righteous, and He said the end, He stated the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one that will lead us out of here. And it's not about your righteousness. It's about His righteousness. It's about Him affecting you. It's about you agreeing with the Lord, repenting in your mind first, and agreeing with the Lord about your condition, because that's where it all starts. Agreement with the Lord about who you are, what you're doing. It all starts there. The head is Christ, and He works powerfully to bring the members under His control, and your head has to agree with the Lord first, to be in tune with Christ, so that your head is the same as His head. And then it works powerfully to bring the members of your flesh body under control. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So I'm not going to go on and on. I've talked about a lot of things here, but let me recap for you at the end, okay? Because this is why I got on here. Be careful. Be cautious. Let no man deceive you in any way, and that includes false prophets. I'm not by any means, I don't want anybody to think that I'm calling Rick Wiles of True News or Nathan Liao a false prophet. I had to use those examples to bring out what I'm trying to say. Okay? I love Rick. I listen to True News. I listen to his podcasts all the time. All of us make errors in judgment about maybe some guests, about what we said. I'm sure you guys can examine my podcast and say, well, you know, Amos, you went out on a limb a few times too. We're all fallible. And we all make mistakes. But I thought it was a good, and I pray that they'll forgive me for using that as an example. But I think that, you know, it's mainly what I'm talking about is let's be careful. We can't have guests on our show that are CFR globalists. We've got to ask questions. We need to be careful when we're saying we had visions and this is it. You know, if anything, we should be humble about it. You know, and that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to put things out there. I say, file it away. This might not be the end all and be all, but file it away, because if something happens, you've got it in there, you know, and you know, that's what we've got to do. We're living in a world that is very confusing, and there's a lot of deception out there, and a lot of the Bible says that on the path of a prophet, that it's a hard road to hoe, because there's many snares and traps all along his way. So, you know, a lot of us get tripped up on some of these traps, but the Lord will not let us fall, because the Lord is our light and our salvation. We have the Holy Spirit. He will guide us into all truth. So, you know, be careful with those that say, I had a dream, I had a vision. Be careful. Be cautious. Test everything against the Word of God. Let us be wise as serpents, and I emphasize wise as serpents, not through our own wisdom, not through our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit by matching it up to the Word. Let us not rely on Babylon and the wisdom of Babylon. Let us not play into their schemes, their psychological operations. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, come out of her. Come out of her. And that doesn't mean physically, because it's all around us. I mean, it means come out of her in your perception. Come out of the hypnotism. Wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. Wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. Light makes everything manifest. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys, for listening to this podcast. I love all of you all, and I pray for you as I hope that you will pray for me. I hope that you guys will pray for the brothers and sisters all around the world whose names you don't even know, that you will pray for the saints worldwide, that we may be counted worthy to escape all of these things, and that we might be able to stand before the Son of Man. Don't take the end times like some exciting thing. Woe to those who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray for the latter rains. Let's pray for understanding. Let's pray for a powerful move among the Holy Spirit. Realize that people are lying, and don't fall into all these traps. Every time a prophet cries wolf, test the spirits. Test it against the word of God. Go and check. You know, people are saying the Gulf oil spill is the third trumpet. Go read about the third trumpet. I mean, be like the Bereans and get into the scriptures to see if, you know, like the Bereans did with Paul the Apostle, and see if it's so. I mean, when I say something, go into your Bible. Check it out. Don't take what I say for it. I'm just a man with feet of clay. Go into the Bible. But I guess I could go on and on, but I feel the fire here dying down, and that's usually the Lord telling me it's time to reel this cast in. Hopefully, I've put out some information, give you some food for provoking thought, you know, to think about this. This may last a lot longer than we think it is. We have not yet entered, I don't think, unless, you know, we're all so numb, it's more horrible than any other time, which I guess it could be, you know, spiritually. We have spiritual temptation being pumped into our house at broadband speed now, and it is severely wicked. But just realize, guys, that, you know, we're in a marathon here, and Satan would love to get you worn out and weary by having you think that the finish line is really close, and then you doing that last burst of speed, using up all your energy, and then he like pulls the finish line away. Ha ha, it was a trick. It's still going. And then you're like, oh man, I got to keep going. He's trying to wear us down. The Bible says in Daniel, he will think to wear down the saints of the Most High. So remember the verse that says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall be lifted up on eagle's wings. And I pray that all of you, during these times, will be vigilant, sober, and alert spiritually, and that you may be hidden under the shadow of his mighty wings, that you might be hidden in that secret place. That secret place. Read Psalm 37, okay? You know, he didn't understand the wicked, didn't understand what was going on until he entered the sanctuary of the Lord, and then he understood their final end. And the sanctuary of the Lord is found in God's word, which I will keep preaching time and time again. Every time I get on this mic, read the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You are crucified to the flesh. You are alive in Christ. You are no longer being fed just by food. For you to live spiritually, you need to eat the bread that comes down from heaven, which is representative of Christ, that manna that was fed to Israel in the desert. In Revelation 12, the Bible says that, you know, the woman, the church, is hidden in the wilderness away from the face of the serpent during this time. And how did God feed Israel in the wilderness? He fed them by the manna. Jesus said, I am the word of God. I am like that manna. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word. Okay, so ingest the written word and you will be ingesting the living word. You will be drinking the living waters. Come and drink freely from the living waters. Like Christ told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, if you knew who I was, I would give you water to drink and you would never thirst again. That is the basis of True Stream Oasis. God says that a river flows from his throne, clear as crystal, and it's truth. It's the living waters. It's an oasis in the desert of confusion all around you, okay? Drink from that True Stream Oasis. And I'm not just talking about this program. That's just the name that you know, God led me to name this program. But drink from the Bible. When you come to True Stream Oasis podcast, I'm going to refer you to the True Stream Oasis, which is the Word of God. And I will do that time and time again. So I want to thank you guys for listening, taking the time to download this podcast. I want to let you guys know, wherever you are in the world, I have a program on Podomatic where I can see this is being downloaded. I see you guys in China. I see you guys in Australia. I see you guys all over the United States, in Canada, Alaska, Hawaii, Dubai, the Middle East, Israel, Europe, Romania, Hungary, Germany, all over the world. You're downloading the podcast. And I know, and I pray for you guys, and I hope you'll pray for me that God will strengthen me, because I too, along with you in this battle, tend to get numb. And we've all got to stay awake. Stay awake, guys. Watch and pray, like Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray, because these are difficult days. I love you. I went kind of fast. I was real passionate in this podcast. If you want, go back and listen to it again. I recommend. A lot of listeners have said when they went back and listened to it, they found other little nuggets that they picked out that they didn't pick up the first time. Go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. There's a lot of little hidden nuggets, a lot of little tools and signposts that God's taken me through the path, and I've tried to set up signposts for people when they hit that point. You know, they'd be like, Amos was here. Amos, you know, experienced this. The Lord will help you go in this direction. So, you know, God bless all you guys. God bless you real good. And may He abundantly shower you with grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. I give you my contact information. You can contact me. Anybody that wants to contact me, they can email me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That is epiphos@hotmail.com. You can visit the True Stream Oasis site once again at truestreamoasis.com or at truestream.podomatic.com or at truestreamoasis.blogspot.com. And all of those have an RSS feed where you can subscribe to the podcast. Please send me an email. Let me know you're listening. Let me know what you think. Good or bad, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Many of you guys have emailed me and really encouraged me, and that is such a blessing. You know, I've got a lady in Tasmania who emailed me. Tasmania, Australia, is a little island south of Australia. It's part of Australia. I want to give a shout out to her. You know who you are. I have several listeners that email me on a regular basis. And I'm very appreciative of it. I really am. It's a great encouragement. And for those of you that, you know, email me with some disagreements, it sharpens me. You know, it gets me in the Word and we have discussion. I'll never argue with you. You know, I love my brothers and sisters. You know, we're not here to bite and devour one another. We're here to study and to, you know, make it through these days. The Lord said, and I'm going to leave you with this, the Lord said, blessed is he that makes it to the end of the 1,335 days. So, I'll leave you with this thought. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I am your host, Amos Ridley. And if I don't see you on this side, I certainly, certainly hope that I will see you on the other side.